How does PwC take your company to the leading edge? They bring the sharpest minds in tech to your team, so you can bring the ideas that will transform your business. They're passionate about your industry, so you can walk into any room with every advantage. And they're with you every step of the way, so you can know you're headed in the right direction. PwC builds for what's next, so you can get there now. Get started at pwc.com/us/leading edge.
Well, the holidays have come and gone once again, but if you've forgotten to get that special someone in your life a gift, well, Mint Mobile is extending their holiday offer of half off unlimited wireless. So here's the idea. You get it now. You call it an early present for next year. What do you have to lose?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Limited time 50% off regular price for new customers. Upfront payment required. $45 for 3 months, $90 for 6 months, or $180 for 12-month plan. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds may slow after 50 gigabytes per month when network is busy. See terms.
Ty Simpson, since that game, he's almost perfect, which is crazy. If he continues at this pace, he is on a tear. Feels like Ryan Williams is getting things going. I still think Bama can win the SEC, and I don't think that's crazy.
It's Wednesday, so you know what that means. It's time to pick the games with a spirit that's unafraid here at Crane & Company. Thank you guys for joining us. Remember, without you, there is no us. If you're not subscribed, grow up. What are you doing? Hit the subscribe button. We're all in this together. It's the trust tree. Become one of us. It's not a cult yet. David Cohn, former Michigan quarterback to my left. Blaine Crane. And our special guest today, you can catch him on SiriusXM. Mm. Dusty and Danny in the morning, dusting it up. CBS Sports HQ.
What else?
Former Florida State quarterback.
Yeah.
Father. Husband.
Wow.
Psychic.
All right.
A lot of people know that.
Right.
And at Cover 3 podcast, our buddy Danny Cannell. What's up, man? How's it going?
I am fantastic. I'm loving Blaine's new blonde locks. I'm wondering if he's just going to roll with it because it looks so good. Like, do you just, is that the new look? I when I was on the Broncos, going into training camp, a lot of guys would shave their head, and I went platinum blonde. The hairdresser was super hot. Like, she was a smoke show.
Good, yeah. Good.
And Brad Pitt at the time had dyed his hair platinum blonde, and she was like on a People magazine there, and she's like, I think you'd look great with this. And so I was like, all right, let's do it.
Yeah, it's typically how it happened.
That's crazy you bring that up, because that's the exact reason why I dyed my hair, because I knew you did it at the Broncos.
Wow.
Yeah.
I thought you believed in Arch Manning.
Well, hey, I just thought you were maybe playing Megan Rapinoe in some movie that was
done. Are you?
I actually am.
You are?
Yeah.
That makes sense.
It's called Going for Hope, #solo.
Oh, nice. Anyways, moving on. Danny, we got to make these picks. We got six games. We got Oklahoma, Auburn, Miami, Florida, Utah, Texas Tech, Nebraska, Michigan, Indiana, Illinois, and Missouri, South Carolina. But first, I just want to open the floor to you. As somebody who had to go through, really, in all honesty, what's happened at Florida State the past 2 years, can you just tell me the emotions that you're going through right now and after you guys beat Alabama and look the way you look? I mean, is this like the stories of the people that flatline on the table, then they come back and have an appreciation for life, like even more?
Yes, it 100% is, because it was one of the biggest emotional roller coasters for a fan base, right? And we've seen, like, college football fans can relate to so many different aspects of the range of emotions that you go through over a season, over multiple seasons. But I don't think anybody has experienced like the highs and the lows that Florida State did, which really started when they ran the table in the regular season, won the ACC, and they were left out of the playoffs. And everybody's like losing their minds. Florida State fans are upset. And then we get smoked by Georgia in the bowl game down at the Orange Bowl. And it's like, oh gosh. Like, and you thought maybe that'd bring a little humility. But then the next year, we're like, we're going to show everybody that they were wrong. They screwed us over. And then you have the worst season in program history. Like, two wins, you lose to Duke for the first time, you lose to Memphis and Boston College at home. Like, I don't have to relive all of that. And then you have to sit on that 2-10 season for an entire offseason wondering, all right, because I will say this, a lot of Florida State fans, I would say it was 50-50 split whether Gus was a good hire or not. Like, there were some fans, oh, I think he's washed up. He can't bring it back. Like, it's not a great hire. And then Tony White from Nebraska, I think people were excited, but they were like, all right, we'll see. But they just were excited to see change. So there was a lot of skepticism even coming into this year. And on the sidelines, I was in Tallahassee for that game. The night before, like the days leading into it, I was asking everybody, what do you think of the game? Almost everybody. No one said we're going to win.
Yeah.
Most of the opinion there was, I just hope we keep it close. Yeah. I just hope we don't get blown out. And I was kind of in the same line of thinking. And when they marched down the field, 17-play drive to open the game, it's like, oh, gosh, we're going to get run in our own backyard. This could be embarrassing. But from that moment on, when they took it right down the field and they scored, it was like, and they didn't look back. And since then, it's just been off to the races. I wish we could see them play another good opponent sometime soon. Their bye is this week. Then they have Kent State. Then it's Miami. But so far, the vibes are great around Tallahassee, and the fan base is feeling enthusiastic. And I think that win looks even better based on what Bama's done since then.
Tony, I mean, Florida State, cool. Miami, they're back.
Okay, well, what you ended on there was what, first off, nice Bucky's cup, by the way. You're a real one for sure.
Yeah. Is trust the Beaver.
So, but that last point, though.
Or don't.
How good is Alabama?
So I picked them to win the SEC coming into this year. And then when I watched them, I was definitely hesitant. But I also said, well, let's wait and see how this thing plays off. Like, I think Florida State could be much better. I think, you know, the fact some of the things were definitely shocking. Like, Florida State looked physically superior, which was even a surprise. Yeah. I think depth will be an issue for Florida State potentially. But I was very much like, well, let's just see how Alabama does. And they have – it's lit a fire under them, but they still haven't beaten anybody yet. But I do feel – like they're doing things that Nick Saban used to do when he was there, and that was annihilate the opponents when they're supposed to. And I'll tell you, Ty Simpson, since that game, he's completing 41 of 46. That's 89% with several drops. Like, he's almost perfect, which is crazy, for over 600 yards, 6 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. And I thought he played well enough to win. Sure, he missed some plays, but I didn't feel like that loss was on him. There weren't really a lot of guys running open. I think Ty Simpson is very much in play for the Heisman Trophy. Like, if he continues at this pace, he is on a tear. They figured out, feels like Ryan Williams is getting things going. Like, I still think Bama can win the SEC, and I don't think that's crazy.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
I saw him in person against Wisconsin.
Well, they have the players to fix it.
Yes.
It's one thing if you don't have the guys to fix it.
Yeah.
You have the guys to fix it. And the funny thing is, if they go on the road and beat Georgia, then all of a sudden it's going to be like, hey, Florida State's just really that good. Yeah. Bama's really good. If you're a Florida State fan, you want Bama to go beat Georgia.
Yeah.
You want Bama to look like the Avengers for the rest of the season to help you out when it comes to seeding and things like that. So, again, writing off Bama with the athletes they have, I think, is just crazy. True.
Well, we'll find out next weekend. Speaking about another team to see if they can fix it, Danny, what the hell is going on in Clemson right now? I mean, are they just falling off a cliff? Is it over? Or could we see a Clemson team, you know, kind of just figure it out and look at the end of the season and they're right there in it?
Blaine, it feels like we've done this before, right? We've written off Clemson even last year. I mean, I remember when they lost to South Carolina, it's like, oh, season wasted. And then they find a way, the right things happen. Miami loses, they get in the ACC championship game. They win with a crazy field goal at the end, and they're in. There's something different, though, I feel about this year with this team. They were a team, I thought they would win the ACC. I didn't see anybody. Like, I did see some people picked Miami, you know, had some kind of off-the-wall picks maybe to go against the grain. I didn't see anybody had Clemson out of the playoffs. Like, everybody's like, well, at least they'll be in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And I bought into that too. The one thing I will say that I brought up in discussing Clemson coming into the season, I did not think Cade Klubnik would play as poorly as he had. He's looked overwhelmed. He has not played great against great competition throughout his career. I thought he played good against Texas in the playoffs, where he kind of put that behind him and you sort of silence that narrative. Mm-hmm. But now you're starting to see a body work against better competition where he just doesn't elevate his game or the players around him. And I think that's concerning. But the biggest concern for me last year was their defense was horrible against the rush. And everybody just – and then I kept seeing a lot of preseason previews, and I'm reading about guys like T.J. Parker on the defensive line. They're like, well, they have first-round talent, and they bring in Tom Allen. Well, they didn't really do much besides Will Helt from Purdue in the transfer portal to do anything differently personnel-wise. And the personnel looks like they aren't as good as we thought they were going to be. Hmm. So I don't know if Clemson's just going to rattle off 9 wins in a row and be in that ACC conversation. They might. It wouldn't surprise me. But I'm starting to wonder if this, I don't want to be too harsh because I love Dabo. I love that he's gone against the grain, but I do think he's got to embrace modern resources even more so than he already has with the transfer portal.
Yeah, but I mean, but Danny, again, you look at their roster, like this is a good roster. Like if you're like, I look at the players they have, I watch them run around. That's the shocking part to me because I think you got to put it in two pots. One is the defensive side. You've got cats on that defense. The problem I see with Clemson is it's still so much read and react. Like, they're not playing on the other side of the line of scrimmage. Even like Peter and TJ and these guys, it's like they're waiting to get off a block to make a play instead of going and attacking and getting in that backfield and causing havoc. And a lot of times when you're doing that, it looks like the linebackers are trying to you know, they're working through tight space and they're not able to go in there and get it. And then in the back end, you know, I don't think it's been awful, but the defensive side is more shocking to me because I look at the offensive side and say, all right, well, you ran the ball pretty decent against Georgia Tech, but it's not like you've had an elite run game all year. Plus, you're missing Antonio Williams, who is your guy where you know their game plan going against you. Yes, you have Wesco, you have some other pieces, but as a defensive guy, when I look at Clemson's offense, it's like Antonio Williams cannot beat me. I cannot let him beat me. You don't have him. So what are teams doing? You don't have a great run game. You don't have your number one target out there. They are playing man and heating Cade's ass up. They are heating him up, and they're going to keep heating him up until you get him out of it. That's been the biggest problem to me for Clemson when you watch. The book is out on them right now. Now, when Antonio comes back or if they get better and more aggressive on defense, I think they can fix it. But I don't know if Dabo can keep, you know, how many horseshoes he's got up his ass for multiple years in a row to go make the playoff.
What's that culture in the locker room? Where are the older guys?
Yeah.
Where's the players-only meeting that's probably happening right now as we speak to say, hey, we do have the players to turn this around. Let's do reel off 10 in a row. Last time they started this bad, Danny, what, they still finished 10-3 that season? We've seen it before, and honestly, that is a benefit of playing in the ACC. Unfortunately for you this year, Miami and Florida State look like they're back.
For sure.
At the same time, which is fun.
Yeah, and Georgia Tech.
Send Annie a voice note.
Hey, sis. So, okay, you know that cozy hoodie you always steal from Charlie after your workouts? Well, I just went to Lululemon and saw they have the same one for women now. I think it's called Steady State. Just throwing the idea out there since you haven't added your wish list in the group chat yet. Plus, I know how much you love matching Charlie. Anyway, talk later. I'll see you at Run Club.
Shop Women's Steady State now at lululemon.com.
I mean, Georgia Tech, you look at the rest of that schedule. I wouldn't just totally throw. I mean, we had them at 15 in our power
Louisville,
I mean, with Haynes King. Blaine, I think, had the best compare who Haynes King is. He's what, Lieutenant Doss?
Private Doss
from Hacksaw Ridge.
Yeah.
He just keeps going up and getting them. He just keeps going up and getting them. Like, it's how Haynes King is going to be able to walk by the time he's 4. I don't know. Like,
it's not like Georgia Tech's like a good football team.
They are a good football team. Like, it's like, not just Haynes.
Like, their defense, their athletic.
But good God.
Fast. You have an experienced quarterback. Haynes King at Georgia Tech and Diego Pavia at Vanderbilt. I don't know which one's a better fit, but they're an absolutely perfect fit.
They have identities.
Yeah, they know exactly who they are. And their coach knows who's. I mean, God, there's something about it. I was Brent Key in an interview with his hat backwards.
Yeah.
Just getting at
they're,
it.
They're
Georgia Tech's just a fun team.
Their pronouns are will score.
Yeah.
Because that's just what they
will run.
Yeah. But all right.
Yeah.
Let's get into some of these picks here, DK. Let's start off with a big one in Norman. Now, we were all high. I'm speaking for us on set. We were all high on Oklahoma coming into the year. We did a full Auburn-Oklahoma preview. Haven't made the predictions yet. I'm going to go ahead and give you mine. I am worried about Auburn's man coverage defense, the amount they run it against Oklahoma without having what I think or what I've seen is a dominant pass rush. I think Notre Dame's got the same problem. You can't live in a world where you are mainly and mostly man coverage and not have hellboys up front or dogs up front that can go back and rush the passer without manufacturing pressure. That's what scares me. Now, to me, the blueprint for Mateer, you got to make him beat you from the pocket. You got to make him beat you throwing it because I think he may throw it to you a couple times, especially in the seam. But it's not just getting to him, it's getting him down. I don't think Auburn's defense can slow down Oklahoma enough on offense. Regardless, if I think Auburn will score somewhere around 17 to 23 points offensively, which isn't a bad number against this Oklahoma defense, I just don't think they can stop him in man. I don't think DJ Durkin is going to get out of man because that's who he is most of the time. I've got Oklahoma winning this one. Give me 27-20, Oklahoma.
Okay. Danny?
I would agree with your take. There is something to keep an eye on. R. Mason Thomas, who is Oklahoma's best pass rusher, has to sit out the first half. I know it's something David wanted to talk about. We can do that later because of a targeting call they had against Temple, like of all things, like a game that really didn't matter. He gets a targeting call, so he's out the first half, which could impact things. I still think they have the depth. I trust John Mateer more than I trust Jackson Arnold. I trust Brent Venables' defense way more than I trust Auburn's defense. Playing Norman, I give it to Oklahoma as well. I'd say maybe a little bit higher scoring because we've seen kind of that trend unfold, especially when you have mobile quarterbacks. They kind of get loose. They're sort of that wild card. So I'd maybe go a little bit more. But I do think I think Oklahoma wins and covers.
Yeah, I like Oklahoma in this game at home. And the way that they beat Michigan, they made a lot of mistakes in that game. John Mateer made some mistakes that could have cost them. They made some mistakes on special teams. And they got away with all of those because they had a great game plan against Michigan's offense. And they executed that game plan. And I refuse to believe that Michigan is a bad football team or really even an average football team. Are they great? I don't know that yet. But I am doubling down on Oklahoma. You know, the thing for Jackson Arnold, though, coming back to the place where he transferred to. That is a unique thing, and especially in this transfer portal era. Do you guys think that he presses, or does he meet the moment and can really deliver a special performance?
I think the answer's somewhere in the middle. I think the answer's somewhere in the middle. I think he plays well. I don't think he plays amazing, and Auburn goes in there and lights up the squad. Oklahoma's really good on defense. Like, you watch these guys run around. I know they haven't played the greatest offenses of all time, but I watched them on the line of scrimmage against Michigan, and we can talk about Bryce Underwood, and we can talk about maybe Michigan not having their speed guy this year, but if there's one thing I know about Michigan, they don't suck up front. And Oklahoma not only met the moment there, I thought they won the moment.
Well, another thing for Auburn, though, that win over Baylor, I think Baylor's still a good football team.
No, I think Auburn's good. I think Auburn is
very much you beat them by two touchdowns at their place, that means something.
One team has Mateer, the other one doesn't. That's what I think.
So everyone's picking Oklahoma.
Do it.
Come on.
Everyone's picking Oklahoma. Well, I mean, right now, from a spread standpoint, it is Auburn plus 6.5. The over-under is 48.5. God, I feel like there's going to be more points in this game. And Auburn, money line is plus 180. You know, I'm big on Oklahoma. I was big on Oklahoma before the year started having the SEC championship playing against Texas. But, you know, but damn it, I refuse to sit here and watch everybody just pick Oklahoma like Auburn's nothing. Like they're nothing. You want to talk about just a villain arc of becoming into its own? Jackson Arnold, they hate you at Oklahoma, dog. They don't respect you. They think you're good enough. This is your replacement, right? Oh, don't worry, he's got a G5. All right, John Mateer's got a G5. I don't want to hop in your old Volkswagen anymore. Give me the Auburn Tigers.
Really?
Going into Norman. Get in the dub.
Give me a score.
Name you need to remember. Keldrick Falk. Coming off the edge. Give me Auburn 31, Oklahoma 28.
Yeah, and I know people will be like, oh, Jake, well, like, Auburn leads the SEC and tackles for loss and this, that, and the other. Okay, Sawyer Robertson threw for 8,000 yards against Auburn the first game. Like, let's just slow down because we're able to get to Ball State's quarterback. Doesn't exactly give me a lot of personal blossoming joy going into this game. I hope I'm wrong. God, I would love to turn on the TV and just be so 100% wrong. That reaction would be great. I just don't think we're going to see it.
Come on, Jackson.
All right. Miami. Danny Cannell's, I don't know, probably least favorite, maybe second least favorite team. I don't know where it lands on DK.
It can't be the Gators, though. Like, I don't like them either.
That's what I'm saying. Actually, to be honest with you, Danny, this is the hate watch of all time for you. Miami hosting Florida. Is this the nail in the Billy Napier coffin? I say yes.
This is it?
I say, Billy Napier looked at everybody and said, please keep me DJ Lagway's the truth. That's basically how it happened. We'll never be in this situation again because we have Lord Lagway here with us. And guess what? Fast forward, look at where we are. You're 1-2. Oh boy, almost threw a half dozen interceptions against LSU on the road. Not that I think he's a bad player. I just don't think Billy has it. I think the leash is gone after this because I think Miami rolls them. I think Miami rolls. Ooh. This season feels personal to me for Miami.
It just feels purse.
Seeing Michael Irvin on the sidelines, making one-handed catches, knocking people upside down. Florida, they've got a little bit of hope left. You snatch it in the first quarter, gonzo. I like Miami big. Give me the Hurricanes. And Blaine, tell us the spread after this one. Give me Miami 34-16. I think they double them up.
Miami's minus 7.5 right now in this game. The money's laying with Miami with the over-under 51.5. Florida money line's going off at plus 235.
Oh, God. So my 34-16 for the total is just right on.
Well, what's interesting, I saw a stat that said Florida's defense has only given up 2 touchdowns. And yet, look at the position that they're in right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that's bad.
You know how many touchdowns their offense has given up?
A lot.
Probably both.
I said LSU's defense led their team in receptions last week.
Yeah.
They did.
That's insane.
Wow. Danny, who you got?
Florida played well enough to win that game. They clearly played well enough to win. I mean, Brian Kelly's getting on the reporter saying, what was wrong with this game? It was ugly, but LSU got the win. I don't think, because I think you're right, if Miami blows them out, I don't know if Billy Napier survives. But then it's like, here you go, interim coach. Here comes Texas.
Yeah, good
then
luck.
It's like, good luck versus this schedule. So yeah. I don't know if they'll do anything. I think it's closer. I think it'll be more 24-20-ish, you know, somewhere in there. Ooh. I think Miami wins the game. Carson Beck has completely impressed me. I was very much skeptical of how it would work with him. And probably the things impressed me the most is his emotional leadership. I thought that was something he lacked at Georgia. And I saw how Cam Ward elevated that team emotionally. And while it's a completely different style of play, he's out there holding his teammates accountable. I thought was a big reason why they blew out USF after a rain delay. He's out there like really getting in the guys' faces. His offensive line is really, really good. He's got great protection in front of him. Their defense is really, really good. Reuben Bain, Akeem Mesidor coming off the outside. Corey Heatherton, their defensive coordinator hire, has been great.
Yeah.
I just think this will be a physical game. I think Billy Napier is not going to let DJ Lagway throw 5 interceptions because at some point, I think he's going to be like, let's make this as ugly as we can and just try to lean on him. And I do think Florida's defense will be a good challenge, probably the best challenge they faced, including Notre Dame, to where I think Carson Beck finally gets a little pressure in his face. I think Miami wins a little bit uglier, but still gets the win.
Yeah, I think so, too. I'm going Miami 24-13, something like that. Miami knew the mission against South Florida because they just had the upset win over Florida. Now you get the second half of that opponent. Don't underestimate the mission. This is still a massive in-state rivalry, and these are the kind of games Miami has to put away if they're going to achieve the aspirations that they have this year.
Well, who'd have thought Carson Beck going to Miami, he would have a better run game and better protection? Because, I mean, last year at Georgia, let's be honest, the offensive line was one of the biggest disappointments, I think, in the country to go along with Alabama's and LSU's when it came to having a run game, which is a form of pass protection in reality, and then being able to have the time that he's had in the pocket. And Carson Beck can work a pocket now. He can absolutely work a pocket.
Yeah, this feels like belt to ass to me. I'm going to be honest. I just don't think Florida's that good of a football team. I think DJ Lagway's confidence is shot. He doesn't know who he is. He's waking up in the morning, looking in the mirror, and saying, who am I? And everybody knows Billy Napier's going to get fired.
What am I?
At the end of the year. We might be in week 3. Everybody knows it. I mean, you lost to USF. You threw 5 picks.
So what happens if he flips it and throws 5 touchdowns and they beat Miami? Then what do you do with Billy
Napier? Well, what happens if I go win the lottery, Dave? Like, I mean,
exactly. What do you do?
I'll sit here and say I'm wrong, but I don't see that happening.
Dye your hair back.
Yeah, I don't see that happening. I just think
they did beat LSU and Ole Miss last year after it felt like they threw in the towel.
Yes, they did.
You know, like, it was, everybody was done. Billy Napier was
fired. But, like, how many times can you go to that well?
That was last year. Florida State won 2 games. We're talking about them being good enough to win the NAC.
Well, it's just like, how many times can you go back to that well of, hey, look, we're out of it in the postseason.
Yeah, I just feel like Billy Napier's the kid who's sitting by himself at the lunch table. Everybody feels
Stephen
bad,
Glansberg?
But it's your fault. Like, every week, I just feel like, look, it's going to be Florida's best shot. Yeah. It's going to be their best shot this week. Well, God, maybe y'all's best shot just sucked, to be honest.
Yeah.
And I think Miami's one of the most complete teams in the country. Give me Miami 34 to Florida 10.
All right, our friends over at Prize Picks. It's the best daily fantasy, daily lineup app that's out there. All right, and they're going to bring you this episode. You and I make decisions every day, but on Prize Picks, being right can get you paid. So don't miss any of the excitement this season on Prize Picks, where it's good to be right. We put out our lineups. You can find them all over social media. And Prize Picks makes daily fantasy simple. Just select more or less on a 2-6 player projection to build your lineup. And when your picks hit, you have the opportunity to win up to 2,000 times your money. Available in over 40 states, Prize Picks puts members first with fast, secure withdrawals through Venmo, Apple Play, and MasterCard. Their innovative flex play even lets you cash out and double your money if one pick doesn't hit perfectly. So turn your sports knowledge into real money in under 60 seconds on PrizePicks' trusted, skill-based fantasy platform that millions of users rely on round to add to the excitement of your season. We're winning money. You can win money. Download the app today and use code Booster to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5. That's code Booster to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. It's good to be right.
Well,
speaking about teams that we're seeing a little bit early in the year, a resurgence, and just one of my favorite coaches. I don't think enough people talk about Kyle Whittingham.
Yeah.
You look back at the past couple of years, this Cam Rising injury situation, you almost felt like they were held hostage by it the past couple of years. Not that Cam did it on purpose. I loved when Dampier transferred in. I watched him come into Auburn last year at New Mexico. I was really impressed with not only his throwing ability, I think, is a little bit better than what everybody, you know, thinks it is. They're hosting Texas Tech in a massive game in the Big 12. This is a massive, massive game with implications.
Say massive again.
It is massive. It's absolute cinema. I like Utah on this one because I just don't know about Texas Tech up front yet. Texas Tech could win it. Texas Tech could go in and beat Utah. I'm not saying I would be shocked, but I just don't know yet with Texas Tech. I just don't know because we haven't got the opportunity to know. And you want to test? Utah elevated themselves in the Pac-12, and Kyle Whittingham built this brand up on being something that everybody else wasn't, and that was physical up front. He's opposite Lincoln Riley, the exact opposite. That's why I think Utah in this game is able to establish a line of scrimmage and actually play a little bit of keep away against Baron Morton and this Texas Tech team that throws it deep more than any team I have ever seen in my life. I think on a piece of paper in the Texas Tech offensive room, it says, we will throw it deep every 3 to 4 plays. Every 3 to 4 plays.
I love it.
They are, and you know what? It's worked. That's great. But at the end of the day, can you be balanced enough offensively with run to pass, and can your defensive line in front seven stop the run on a team that wants to get downhill with a bunch of guys that are super duper pissed off? I like Utah on this one. I think it's going to be an awesome game. Give me Utah with a walk-off field goal. Mm. Give me 30-27 Utah with a big home win.
Mm, Danny?
So I like Utah a lot. I was disappointed in Utah last year. I thought they would be the program that would come in and fill the void that Oklahoma and Texas left behind,
yeah,
like a perennial contender who could kind of be in this conversation every time. Their quarterback play was atrocious. Remember Cam Rising? Was he healthy? Was he hurt?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then it was Zach Wilson's little brother who was really exposed as a true freshman. Devin Dampier is pretty special. Like I think he's worth, especially before this game, of taking a Heisman flyer on. I think this defense is one that you trust because of what Kyle Whittingham has done historically. Always has one of the more physical front sevens out there. And Dampier, the thing that has impressed me the most, they've gone with this trend. They bring Jason Beck, his offensive coordinator, came with him from New Mexico. So he's there. He's comfortable in the system. Most importantly, 7 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. When he was last year, he had 12 interceptions, 12 touchdowns. So he struggled with the turnover bug. He is playing clean football. He can get it done with his legs, too. I think Utah gets it done. I'm going to go under lower scoring because this game does kick at 10 a.m. local. Mm. I don't know about you guys. When I was in college, it wasn't functioning exactly just perfectly until maybe a halftime of this
game.
Needed
a little bit of hair of the dog at about 9:30 if I'm going to get up for that 10 a.m. one.
Yeah, but I think Utah wins. I'll go 27-21.
Okay.
I'm
going to go Utah 31-28. It used to be a staple to take the Utah unders. Now, the way they're playing, you know, and plus, I think the Texas Tech offense is legit. Let's just see. But one interesting thing to think about is, you know, Kyle Whittingham took over for Urban Meyer at Utah. And you just think about how long ago that was when you think about all the success Urban Meyer had and the peaks and the valleys. And Kyle Whittingham has been at that program, and there's been this sort of steadiness, even with the uncertainty of moving conferences. And I think they really bring that physical brand of football to the Big 12. And I'm excited to see, like, a quarterback stay healthy for him here, you know, now that they're back in the Big 12.
Yeah. Well, if Barron can stay healthy, look, he can throw the ball. It's just, can Barron stay healthy?
Well, I will say this. I hope, if you've watched Texas Tech, I don't think Utah's just going to be able to line up and run them over. I mean, they have two good interior players.
No, I just, like, want to see it with my eyes, not just be
physical,
told about it.
Sure. I mean it's easy to stop the run against Oregon State. I mean, I could probably get us four and, you know, 7 other guys and go figure it out on defense. But I think what will get Texas Tech in trouble is Graham just, he puts the ball in danger too much.
Are you talking about Graham Harrell?
Yeah. And
you do that against a Utah team that's going to turn around and run the ball, I'm interested to see how much Texas Tech is going to force Devin Dampier to throw the ball to beat him. I think this game is going to be a lot closer than what people think. The spread right now is +3.5 for the over-under 57. I think
I like the under Texas Tech plus three and a half,
and I like Tech to cover. Give me Utah 24, Tech 21.
If I'm Utah, and again, I know you got to do what you do best with your personnel. Why do I not come out in the first quarter of the game and do what Baylor did against Auburn? Like, I'm going to play too high. I'm going to play too high flat foot. I'm going to see if we can stop the run with the even box. Because you're not going to bombs over Baghdad me this whole game. Because that's what Texas Tech does. It's like, oh, it's 3rd and 8. You were great on the first 2 downs. Shoo! Pass interference, big play. Like, it's just, and I get it. I get it. But I'm interested to see how Utah attacks him defensively. All right, next game. Another big one. I mean, if you're Nebraska, we look at, this almost feels kind of like the A&M game at Notre Dame. Like, at some point, you've got to win a big game. Like, to be like, okay, we are arriving. Not that we have arrived, but hey, the car showed up. I'm just waiting on that guy in the tux to open the door and take my keys and park it for me. And A&M was able to get away with it last weekend on the road against Notre Dame. Hosting Michigan. And this is a great chance for Nebraska. Bryce Underwood. They say they're going to let the Lamborghini out on the street. We'll see it. I don't know. I'll be up in the morning looking outside. But something about this Michigan team and just Biff Pogge and this whole circumstance that's going on, I like Michigan in this mm-hmm. one. I do. And one of the main reasons is I think Dylan Raiola is a good quarterback. Not a great quarterback. I don't think he can escape the way that he's going to need to from this Michigan defense in this front seven to hit some of the explosive plays that Nebraska's going to have to hit to score consistently. And we look at what Nebraska used to be, this physical team. You look at all these old offensive Steinkuhler and Stunkenhauser and all. It's not like that anymore at Nebraska. They're way more finesse than physical. And I love Matt Rhule. I love the hire. I think it's good for Nebraska. I think this is the first big win for Bryce Underwood. I think Bryce Underwood goes into Nebraska, and he's the one that makes a couple of the big plays in the second half, and then this hype train really starts rolling for Bryce Underwood. You know, the one they said was going to happen for Arch Manning. I think you see that hype train start to roll in for Bryce. I like Michigan in somewhat more of a high-scoring game. I like Michigan 34-27.
Matt Rhule.
34-27.
Nothing.
I mean, you're building something good. I mean, it's not the biggest mansion. It's not an estate with a pool and a gate, but damn it, we're comfortable.
Danny?
So, I've got all favorites, which I don't love. I'm looking for a dog. I love a good home dog. I'll disagree with you, Jake, that I don't think it's higher scoring. I think it's lower scoring. And I think Michigan wins. But I'll say Nebraska covers. Is it under a field goal? Or is
right
it three
now,
and
I'm
half?
Seeing, yeah, it's -2.5 Michigan, over under 45.5.
So I'll go with Dave. I'll say it's a walk-off field goal to win by 1 or 2. I think it's an uglier game because I think Justice Haynes, I mean, they're clearly going to be a part of that game plan. We finally saw Bryce Underwood's legs unleashed. I still don't trust him completely as a passer, but I don't trust Nebraska to be able to just march up and down the field on Michigan's defense yet either. I think Dylan Raiola has done a pretty good job. I love the Dana Holgorsen hire. He looks comfortable. He's getting rid of the football quickly, which I think he's going to have to do. But are they just going to get a ton of yards after the catch against this defense?
Yeah. Yes.
No. So I'll say it's a little bit of an uglier game, but Michigan wins.
Well, you guys know when it comes to Michigan football, I try and be as realistic as possible. Oftentimes pessimistic. I think Michigan wins, and I think Michigan rolls. And to be honest, I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing that Sharon Moore is suspended and not at this game. And not no knock to him or because he's a bad head coach or anything, but just the way you saw Biff Pogge, the interim head coach, allow the coordinators, especially a new offensive coordinator in Chip Lindsey, to be able to open up and do the things that he needed to do to get another one of those games under Bryce Underwood's belt against Central Michigan. He just turned 18 years old, and he threw for over 250 yards, rushed for over 100 yards. He needs that sort of game before you head into an environment like Lincoln. I actually like Michigan 34-17 in this game. Dylan Raiola is going to throw a lot of pass attempts, and I think he's going to throw for a lot of yards in this game, but those are going to be underneath. Can he go 11, 12, 13-play drives to score against this Michigan defense, and not just once. That just gets you 6 points. Can you do it time and time again? I think that's what Nebraska's going to need to do against Michigan.
Watch out for special teams in this game.
I mean,
out for special teams.
If Michigan just comes in and rolls Nebraska, I mean, Sharon, I mean, just
yeah.
I'll be at this game. I'm fired up.
You're going to be there?
Yeah. Yeah, nice. We're going our CBS Sports pregame show, college football pregame show, Paramount Plus. We're going. So
Nice. I wonder what that's like.
Yeah, so everybody in Michigan in here, all right?
God! Come on, do it.
I mean, Cone. Well, Cone, I expect it from you. I mean, obviously. But
I pick against them all the time.
Sometimes pessimistic.
Sure. I pick against them all the time.
Look, Bryce Underwood versus Dylan Raiola, the battle of who has the brighter future. God, you know, it's just, I keep hearing this on the show. Every time we talk about Nebraska, it's Matt Rhule, the builder.
He is a builder.
He's building. Finally, I think that building is getting finished. Give me Nebraska to win in this football game. Okay. I think Dylan Raiola is the difference, and I think he outshines Bryce Underwood in this game. I think in the pocket, he delivers it well, kind of gets out, creates some plays late, and he makes some highlight plays that you have to come back and look at. I think, yeah, you can write it down, David. That's fine. Give me Nebraska 27, Michigan 24.
Okay. All right. Two more. A game I never thought we'd be picking or really even cared about in the grand scheme of things in the sport of football. Maybe in basketball, maybe in something else. I'm not smart enough to remember, like rowing or chess. Indiana hosts Illinois. Some implications in this one, boys. A lot of people got either one of these teams in the playoff at 10-2. I don't think either one of them makes. I got them at both 9-3. And this is such an even matchup. I love Mendoza. I love Altmaier, right? I love when you look at the backs both these teams have, right? I know, you know, neither one is super duper explosive, but I think they are just solid backs that play within the scheme. These teams are so similar to me. What is the line on this one?
The line is -4.5 Indiana with the over under.
I'm gonna tell you right now, if it's above 3, I'm taking the dog. Right? If I'm going to take a favorite, it better be below 3. I think these teams are so similar, and this game is so important. I'm actually going to have to default to the home team. If this game was at Illinois, I would pick Illinois. But since it's at Indiana, all right, and we know all the ish that Cignetti's talked, and I'm telling you, Mendoza's a problem. The older one. I know they're both there. I watched what he did to Auburn at Cal last year, and as much as I like Luke Altmaier, want to see if Illinois can really run it. Give me the home team. Give me Indiana. Mm, and just an old-fashioned, just sloppy game. Extra sloppy.
Who's Danny like?
Give me 20-17.
Okay.
Low scoring. Right. Indiana, 27.
I think the Mendoza brothers, it sounds like a reality movie.
Yeah.
I think the Mendoza
brothers. I thought those were the ones
that
killed their parents, but that was a different one.
That was a different one, let's hope. I think they combined for 8 touchdown passes last weekend in one of the blowouts because his brother came off the bench.
Yeah, it was a good day.
Yeah, it was a great day.
Papa Mendoza.
I like Illinois in this game. You know why? And maybe this is a personal little bit of irritation with Indiana because Illinois has already been battle-tested. They went down to Duke in a game that was it is a hostile environment down there at Wallace Wade Stadium in Durham. But they still, at least they played somebody. Indiana has not been tested yet. I thought Fernando Mendoza was an upgrade from Curtis Work last year. I still think he is. He's way more mobile. But this is his first big test. And Luke Altmaier has been around the block. He's played in a lot of games like this one. I trust them. I trust Gabe Backus, one of their edge rushers for Illinois. I think he could chase down from Fernando Mendoza. He's a stud. I trust Brett Bielema a little bit more in this situation. So I'm going to say Illinois wins the game outright.
Yeah. And I think it was the Menendez brothers that I was.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Yes, correct.
Look, man, cool matchup. One of these teams was a playoff team a year ago. The other one's going to be a playoff team this year. But weird. 26-23 Illinois.
Ew.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, you're probably right.
17-13.
Look, I'm just a big Brett Bielema guy.
13.
Okay.
Like, sometimes I'll just walk around and do this, just around my apartment. You know what that's from?
Doesn't Illinois and Indiana just look like the girl who typically doesn't look great when you go out, but there's that one night where she figured it out?
Yeah, how much do you drink?
Huh? Yeah.
That's what it
means. A little bit. A decent amount.
It's just like Cignetti Mom Spaghetti just reminds me of a ROTC kid, and I can't get it out of my head. I don't know why. It's just, I
that
like.
Haircut?
I don't know. Maybe that's it. Wow.
I don't know if you
point.
Should be talking about people's haircuts.
Honestly, though,
see, now that's a low blow. That's a low blow. I like, look, Mendoza. I watched him at Cal. He's a dog. But I just like Brett Bielema and what they do, and they have proven a little bit by beating a pretty good Duke team. Yeah. Give me Illinois. I think there's going to be more points in this game. 30-27.
So am I the only one going to Indiana? Did you go Indiana or Illinois?
Oh, Illinois.
Illinois? Yeah. All right, good.
Playoff team.
Good. I'll stand alone. All right. John Last Snow. One.
You have him in the playoff.
Yeah, it's our playoff team.
Thank
yeah.
you.
That's what Golly. I said, Dave. God.
It's coming out of his cage, Dave. Grow up.
Hey, Danny, Dave had Bama in his playoff thing. I just wanted you to know that.
He just said he's going to win the SEC. Yeah, I did too.
So why don't you shut up, Milo?
Grow up, Danny.
Yeah, why don't you shut up, Milo? All right.
Okay. All right. All right.
All right. All right. All right. Last one.
You step outside.
All right. How about Missouri?
Yes.
Bo Prabhuel.
Yes. How about it?
How about him? He can actually throw it. That was the question, right? If he could throw it, you look at the backs they have with Hardy, who we knew about, and then Roberts, who's coming on the scene. I like this Missouri team. I'll tell you another team we told you to trust but verify. And guess what? The Carfax came in, and y'all lied.
Yeah.
All right?
Why does my transmission sound like
that? Well, yeah. Why does the alternator go out week two? Lenore Sellers. Do we know? Is he playing for South Carolina this weekend? He was in protocol, whatever. It's going to be interesting to see. I don't care if Lenore Sellers plays or not. I think Missouri's confident. I think they look like a balanced team. And I watched Bo Prabhuel go 30-39 against Kansas. If he's able to do that, and it wasn't just throwing checkdowns and screens. Oh, buddy was putting it where it needed to be. Mm-hmm. If he can do that, Missouri's a problem. If he can do that, Missouri's a borderline college football playoff team because the defense is pretty solid. They're going to play South Carolina this week. They're going to beat them. And everybody that was so high on South Carolina, when we told y'all, I'm a little worried about the offensive line. I'm a little worried about replacing six out of the front seven that finished fourth overall in the SEC in total defense this year, looking like we thought it was going to look. Give me Missouri at home. Give me a confident Missouri team. Give me 27-17 Missouri. I think it's a 10-point win. What's the spread in this one?
The spread right now?
Who's favored?
Missouri.
Almost two touchdowns?
Yeah, Missouri's favorite. It's -13.5.
Okay, so that means Lenore's playing. Okay, Lenore.
So Lenore's
I just, right now, his status playing. Is uncertain.
Well,
Vegas must know something.
Yeah, Vegas ain't uncertain about it.
Okay. So, okay, what do you know, Danny?
I know Luke Doty is the backup, and I don't know if it's quite the same level of confidence as I would have if Lenore Sellers was playing. I don't think it matters either. There have been a lot of quarterbacks that came in with a lot of hype, and almost all of them. I'm trying to think of any that have actually lived up to it.
Mateer.
But Mateer, yeah. We actually saw do it at least for multiple years. I would put Lenore Sellers in this category. Arch Manning's clear in this category. DJ Lagway. Side note, though. But I do think Missouri. Bo Prabhuel is somebody who nobody really knew what he was going to be able to do. Didn't even win the starting job. Remember, he went with Sam Horn.
Yeah, yeah. Horn
to
got
start
hurt.
The season. Guy gets hurt in the first quarter. And thank goodness for Eli Drinkwitz and company. I think Missouri could be really good. Watch out. Their schedule is very, very manageable of all these tough SEC schedules. They could be 10-2. And in that playoff conversation, I think this is one of their wins. So I'll say they win by 10 as well. Because I don't know if they cover. I mean, I think there's a lot of parity. And I think Shane, you know, I think their team will still be pretty physical on the defensive side of the ball. Yeah. But I think, I'd say like 24-14, something like that.
Well, I went against my gut last week and I stuck with South Carolina against Vanderbilt. Part of that's because of how much I like Shane Beamer, how much respect I have for him. And I wish we had gotten a full matchup with Lenore Sellers in
for
there.
Sure.
But I agree with your point. I don't think it would have mattered. I think Vanderbilt was going to win that game either way. I'm not going to make the same mistake this week. I was wrong in many respects about Missouri preseason.
Me too.
And it's not just Prabula. The way this Hardy kid is running the football, the yards after contact, man, what an incredible back. And they're doing it on the defensive side too. I'm going to take Missouri, let's say 30-17 in this one.
Yeah, look, as a guy who picked Vanderbilt last week, it's okay. I will say this. It just feels like watching South Carolina, it's just like watching like a Jurassic Park movie. Like Lenore is just running for his life for 3 hours.
Yeah.
And I was extremely worried, even after the Virginia Tech game, like how bad that left side of the offensive line was for the South Carolina. But I'll tell you this, a lot of Missouri, Bo Prabhuel, the running backs, Coleman at receiver, their defense is pretty damn.
Yeah, they're running around making plays.
Like their front seven is like, you go back and look at that Kansas game, I mean, they scored 23 in the first and then scored like 7 points for the rest of the game. I think Missouri walks in this football game. Give me Missouri 34-10.
All right, so we are all taking Missouri there. Those are the six games we're picking this week.
I got one more question.
Go ahead, David, please.
Danny. targeting is a problem in college football. We're seeing these kids get kicked out of games. I mean, sometimes it's just about being helmet to helmet. Other times, no, we need an indicator about launching or crown of the helmet or defenseless players. It's completely inconsistent to me across the board when I'm watching from one game to the next. And even if we get that consistency, we're kicking guys out of the game and then they can't play the next week. A lot of times for just doing what they're coached to do and playing hard. I played quarterback. Like, I don't want to get hit any more than I needed to get hit. You played the position as well. Am I being too dramatic on targeting?
No, not at all. It's a problem, and it needs to be fixed. I think the NFL does a better job with it. I saw this coming because I felt like there was such an overreaction when the CTE conversation was going on and concussion, the movies out there. And clearly, we want to take care of our players, right? And we're doing a better job of being aware of, you know, player safety, getting players out when they have concussions, all those sort of things. But it still is a dangerous game. And we've gone too far to legislate, you know, fear into players as far as what they can and can't do. When was the last time you guys saw like an egregious, like old school, like jacked up where the player like launches and just like smacks
them? Yeah, you don't really
see
it anymore.
Kill shot.
Yeah.
We don't see it hardly at all. Now, no one wants, and I'm not advocating for those. Those are the type of hits that I think you should warrant an ejection or a suspension the next game.
Agreed.
Including maybe more than just a half. Like there are some that we've seen that maybe deserve a full game or maybe two games. Do like the NBA does with a flagrant one.
Yeah, that's
flagrant
exactly
two
what I was going to say.
During the game, and I think that, and then after the game, if you want to decide to suspend somebody, I don't think anybody should really be ejected unless it was that flagrant two and it looks obvious. But then with all of them, have them reviewed by the league office and determine, all right, was this egregious? Is this worthy of a half-game suspension? Or was this just a football play that was sort of inadvertent contact that was around the head and neck area, which
for
still
sure
warrants a targeting penalty, but just it's not egregious. Getting missing playing time and being suspended for games should be such an egregious violation that you're almost embarrassed.
Yes.
I'm embarrassed
like
for the
spitting
sport.
Fighting. Like when Jalen Carter spit on Dak Prescott. Like, all right, you do that. That's blatantly obvious. I agree 100% with the flagrant one and flagrant two. And the most ironic thing is, you know the only two times where I do see what looks to be egregious, like that trying to take somebody out? And it's ironical because it's either when the quarterback slides because it catches the defender kind of off guard and he has to go over the top of the quarterback, and sometimes there's a little bit of contact, or when a receiver is going across the middle and is going down to catch a ball because the quarterback's trying to protect him and he's trying to protect himself, and the defender's going to try and dislodge the ball. So really the two times that are the most egregious or the most dangerous are when you're trying to protect yourself. Mm-hmm. But like to John Gruden's point, I think he's the one who said it, when we show these hits in slow-mo, it all looks like targeting.
Yeah, it's football.
Because it's an individual ramming into another individual at full speed. So it's going to look.
They say
look,
forcible contact. What? We're playing football.
It's like
everything you do should be forceable.
Well, it's like when they show those crash dummy tests and they show the slow-mo of the dummy in the car getting just merkalized by the wall. Well, yeah. You hit a wall at 150 miles per hour. We played it in slow-mo. It's going to look terrible. Terrible. Play Saving Private Ryan in slow motion. I bet it looks even worse in the beginning.
Great movie.
So, no, I mean, to the point, it's a good point, DK. But, man, thanks so much for joining us. Tell everybody where they can find your work because it's great stuff, and we always have a good time chopping it up with you.
Cover 3 Podcast, Dusty and Danny in the Morning on SiriusXM, CBS Sports HQ for all the on-camera stuff. And on X, as always, that's my favorite.
Just look outside your window, favorite. Danny's there. DK, thanks so much, buddy. We appreciate you. You're the best. We appreciate you guys. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. We got a Georgia-Bama preview coming out very shortly. I know it's a little bit away, but they're both on bye weeks, all right? So we're going to give you a little early taste of some upcoming action. Make sure you're subscribed, like I said, and like the chances of me not being excited, we're going. Oh!
On Danny Day?
What a loser. Dang it! Gone. Get out.